I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Centennials, 100 years, a century. That's a long time. I don't know if have you ever thought about that? How long you want to live? Do you want to live to be 100 years old? I guess it all depends on the quality of life at that point. And, you know, and maybe we don't, well, we can do things to decide that. But it certainly is something to mark. It's historical. There are two Montana communities that are celebrating centennials. This weekend, as a matter of fact, well, upcoming July 4th, let's get into those a bit later on. It's Colstrip. Colstrip, the town of Colstrip, celebrating 100 years. Mayor John Williams will be with us. And then let's start off in Shelby, Montana. This was July 4th, 1923. Jack Dempsey, Tommy Gibson. Let's talk about that today on Voices of Montana. Let's go over to Shelby first. Shelby, Montana. Dean Hellinger is with us. Like I mentioned, we'll start off a bit later on. We'll get going a bit later on over to Colstrip and Mayor John Williams. But let's go to Shelby. Former director, now a volunteer with the Marias Museum of History and Art. And Dean, thanks for being here. You doing good today?
Good morning. Yes, very good.
Good, good. The town's gearing up for this celebration. You've been, as we just chatted, I want you to share that, you know, some of that information too, because we go back 100 years. I want to talk about the things you're doing now to mark that too. But you have actually spoken with a number of folks over the years who attended that fight in 1923.
Yes, indeed. Actually, my dad was at the fight. As a family thing, we never talked about it, but he was there. And his older sister and his younger brother also were at the fight.
Yeah. What did they tell you about the fight? I mean, it was something new, obviously. Did they even know what was going on there?
Interesting. My father was a truck driver at the time. Oil had been struck north of Shelby 2 years previously, and that's what this fight was all about. Shelby was a boom town because of the oil, and Dad was driving an oil truck. His older sister worked in the courthouse, and she had enough money to buy a ticket. And their younger brother was a teenager. And he didn't have a ticket, but he sat right next to him for the fight. There's quite a story about that.
Well, there. Maybe you can start with that, because as I've read on it a little bit, there was a lot of people watching that fight for free.
Well, you know, the arena was built in about a month. Quite incredible, 40,000 seat. When you think about 100 years ago, a 40,000 seat arena that was built in just a few weeks. The biggest thing in Montana right now is Washington Grizzly Stadium in Missoula. It seats 26,000, so it's quite a deal.
You have to imagine that. And they put that up in like a couple of weeks' time. What did that look like?
Well, it looks like a big wooden arena. it built, obviously, for one event, quite incredible, and was torn down almost immediately. The lumber, the big timbers were used in the local oil field. And once in a while, somebody will stop by the museum and say, you know, part of my house is built out of the stuff from the arena. So there is a little history there, too.
I love that. I love that story. But go ahead. Let's go ahead and go back before that. Yeah, oil discovered 1922, and they were looking at that time, too. The West was, like it is now, very attractive to tourists.
Yes. Yep.
And so, so Shelby saw this as an opportunity then, Dean?
You know, Toole County, Shelby's the county seat of Toole County. The county was formed in 1914. The people really came from 1909 to 1919, the homestead boom. And then 17, 18, and 19 were very dry, and a lot of people left. So there was a big exodus of people. And then in 1921, oil was struck north of Shelby. And suddenly this was a boom town. Shelby, which had been about maybe 800 people, suddenly had 4,000 people. And the mayor and his son were involved in the real estate business. And that's how the fight came about. They heard that Dempsey was talking about a fight in Canada, and someone in Canada had offered them $100,000 to fight. And Shelby said, well, why don't we offer them $200,000 and get our name in the paper, and people will come to Shelby, and maybe they'll buy lots in our town. So eventually it turned out that the American Legion was involved because of the war-related against fighting. And Dempsey wanted to fight, hadn't fought in 2 years, and they talked to his manager, and pretty soon Shelby signed a contract with manager of Dempsey for $300,000, which was a big mistake. It was supposed to be only $200,000, but anyway, you can imagine that was an awful lot of money.
Especially back then, 1923. I don't have a ton of history to read here. I'm looking at a Wikipedia, and so I'm going to go off of that. But they also offered Gibson, who was Gibbons, I should say. He was not a champion, and he also got like half of that, $150,000, to fight Dempsey.
Supposedly, he got practically nothing, just a few thousand dollars. Interesting, Tommy Gibbons' grandson is writing a book about his dad and his uncle. And Gerard Gibbons is his name. We've been contacted with him for about 4 years, I guess. And he's writing a book specifically about how Shelby was involved. He will be, he'll be in Shelby on the 4th, July the 4th, and give a speech at the museum, the Morris Museum, about 1 o'clock. On the 4th of July.
Well, that'll be cool. I do want to talk about those events. And while you mention them, what kind of events are you guys doing, the Toole County and the town of Shelby, to commemorate this?
Yeah, well, the thing's going on all day. Starting at 10 o'clock, there's a picnic lunch at the fire hall. This is an annual thing that the local firemen put on. And then at 12 o'clock, they're dedicating a park to the fight. It's called Championship Park. It's just two blocks down from the Marias Museum, and it's it's the site of where the fight was. You can imagine a 40,000-seat arena. It was a big thing. But that's where the park is. And then at 1 o'clock, the Marias Museum is open from 1 to 4, and Mr. Gibbons will be speaking, and we'll have free ice cream and lots of local history.
Yeah, I bet. Go ahead.
Yeah. After that, then there's a car show going on downtown. And at 3 o'clock, there are boxing matches going on out at the local fairgrounds. It ends in the evening with a street dance at 7 o'clock.
Dean Hellinger is with us, a former director of the Marias Museum of History and Arts, and a volunteer now. Of course, the museum has a lot more than just Dempsey exhibits. There's schoolroom displays, country stores. You were director of that. Why don't you talk about the museum there, Dean?
Love to talk about the museum. I got involved with the museum about 35 years ago. I'm an amateur photographer, and at that time I had a local darkroom. Did my own work. And as a self-assigned project for the state centennial in 1989, I decided I would collect and duplicate pictures of all of rural schools in Montana and in Toole County. Toole County at one time had over 100 rural schools. They figured you needed a school about every 8 miles, so you only had to walk a maximum of 4 miles to get to school. So I collected about 500 pictures, and eventually I gave them all to the museum, and that's how I got involved with the museum.
That's probably a pretty cool display. What strikes you now? What would you tell us now about all those pictures?
Well, they're interesting because, most of those original buildings have disappeared. There's just still a few of them around, but not many. And all the little towns, the homestead towns, have pretty much shut down and don't have their own schools anymore.
Yeah.
The museum itself is a former house, a large house, has a beautiful yard, 14 different displays, and then we have a brand new building. Actually, it's about 10 years old now, but a metal building where our open house will be held on the 4th of July.
The going back to the fight here too. That fight famously kind of almost destroyed the town, didn't it? It certainly caused some financial difficulties for the next several years.
Yes, it was very difficult because raising that much money was difficult. What happened was Dempsey's manager kept saying that unless we got the full $300,000, the fight was off. And that got out on the press, and so people started canceling special trains. There's special trains from all over the country were chartered to come to Shelby for the fight. But they started canceling because there was doubt whether or not the fight would be held. So it was very hard. A lot of people lost money, and things shut down for quite a while.
Does that still sting for some people? Or are they looking at this? Because it's 100 years now. How do people feel now about that fight?
Well, it's just a historical event. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the hardships from the lack of money was limited. It was actually a farm depression at the time because of Dow previous, and striking oil was just a godsend to Toole County. But after the fight, went back to the poor times in the farming community, and oil was the only thing basically that was going on. Shelby is on the main line, the Burlington Northern Line. And it's an agricultural community in addition. But things were very tough in the 20s.
Yeah. Again, Dean Hellinger is with us. I'm going to take a break and we'll come on back. I want to kind of get back into this fight a little bit. At least maybe describe some of the action there as well. And the famous people who were surrounded by this fight. We're looking back 100 years, Dempsey and Gibbons in Shelby, Montana, today on Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
It's Tom Schultz back on Voices of Montana. Again, thanks for being here. Dean Hellinger, volunteer, former director of the Marias Museum of History and Arts. I got to get there. I'm kind of really interested in that school display, Dean. So is that accessible online at all? Some of those pictures?
Not online.
Yeah.
We are open 7 days a week, or 6 days a week.
Cool. It may be a while before I get up there, but I'm going to try to make a note to get into that museum, and would love to see that. I mean, the picture of all those school rooms, usually one room school rooms for the most part, in your county. It's great.
The museum does a good job of depicting local history. You know, people say there have been a lot of changes over the years, and changes are happening faster. Well, we've got a lot of things that were given to the museum on display now, and you can look back and see the way things used to be.
Yeah, I've
you know, we went to the fight.
Yeah.
I have a cute story about Jack Dempsey. One year I was working at the museum, and this guy stopped in from Calistoga. He said he had been in New York previous, and he had gone to Jack Dempsey's restaurant, which the fighter ran for a long time. Anyway, and they were visiting. He visited with Jack Dempsey, and Dempsey said, I suppose that Shelby's 500,000 by now. He had been in New York for too long a time.
I think so.
A little trivia about that, too. Dempsey closed his restaurant a few years ago. And the reason why, the rent had gone up too high. And the trivia is, the building that he had his restaurant in was owned by Queen Elizabeth. One never knows.
Go ahead. Yeah, tell more stories. I love them.
Yeah. We're very proud of the museum, and I hope when people come on the 4th, to see the things that are going on in Shelby, they will definitely stop by at the open house at the museum.
Yeah, it's
1 to 4.
It's a fun to celebrate. And of course, 4th of July too. So are you guys having rodeos?
No. Just boxing out at the fairgrounds.
Just boxing. All right. That's kind of a rodeo in and of itself at times.
Not this bad.
Yeah. The first, let's go back to this fight then. As I read it here, you know, like you said, Dempsey was not in his prime, but he was still a big name. The one of the big fives, Red Grange, Bobby Jones, Baby Ruth, or Babe Ruth. He was a real big name, but kind of out of, well, for 2 years, right?
Yeah, that's true. He hadn't fought for 2 years and wanted to fight. That was one of the things when the manager threatened to call the fight off because the last $100,000 hadn't been gathered. Dempsey wanted to fight anyway because he had been training and living in quite a while.
Mm.
And Gibbons, on the other hand, was an up-and-coming boxer from St. Paul, and his older brother actually was more famous at the time, Mike Gibbons. And look who will be coming out about that, but his granddaughter, or grandson, from California is writing a book about the family. And Tommy Gibbons later became sheriff of Ramsey County, that's St. Paul, Minnesota, and was sheriff for a long time.
Well, I mean, you can't box all your life either, so...
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Interesting family.
And so the Gibbons have kind of stayed connected, at least to a certain degree, with Shelby, but the Dempsey clan, not so much?
Yeah. Dempsey never came back. Tommy Gibbons used to come, every 10 years or so. When there were celebrations going on, he would come from the local fair. Incidentally, the local fair, Morris County Fair, is in the third week in July. Come to that, too.
Yeah, you bet. The fight then, in and of itself, it cost a lot of money. It hurt the town. There were four banks. Is that correct? There were the banks. It says here four banks went bankrupt in the months following the fight.
Well, I don't know the number, but yes, that's true. You know, but in 1923, banks were closing without the fight.
Oh.
You know, a lot of the local banks were going broke because of the agricultural depression.
And anything else to share about the fight, Dean? I think I'm just going to open it up to you there.
Well, of course, nobody knows how many people are going to show up. One of the people we hope shows up is Jason Kelly. Mr. Kelly is an author, and he has a wonderful book out that I recommend about the fight. It's called Shelby's Folly. And he wrote this, 10 years or so ago. He was out here to the museum a couple years ago when I dedicated the book. And he is supposed to come, too.
What does he say about the fight?
Well, it's a wonderful story about the fight. It's a real Bible in details. Very, very good. Very well written.
Hey, I got a question here from a caller, Pat, listening in Helena. Let's take it. Pat, thanks for joining us. You're on with Dean Hellinger from Mariah's, well, actually a volunteer up in Shelby, Montana.
Hi.
Pat, are you? Oh, we've got one second, Pat. And now you're good. Good morning, ma'am.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, you piqued my interest when you talked about 100 schools, I think it was, in the county and how close together they were. And all these little one-room schools that you took pictures of. But I was wondering how many of those schools had teacherages where the teacher was housed, or were they close enough to the village that they could be housed in the little villages? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Pat.
And very good questions. Some of them certainly did have teachers, and some of the times the teachers lived with a parent family. In fact, my mother was a teacher, and she started teaching over by Kalispell 2 months before her 18th birthday. She was teaching 8 grades, and she lived with the family of one of her students, and many people did that.
Are any of those buildings still left?
There are a few, not many, and some got moved into town. You know, Shelby has several old schools, if you know where to look.
I don't know where to look. Where should we look?
Well, you come and I'll tell you where to look.
Oh, it's a secret. Oh, okay. I didn't.
No, some of them are private homes. You know, some of them are used things like that.
Oh, I gotcha. Is there any preservation plans for some of those old schoolhouses?
It's all private. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get it. Well,
one of the things that the museum has, we moved a two-story rural school from the little town of Dunkirk into Shelby a few years ago, and it's out at my fairgrounds. It's used to display school exhibits at the fair.
Ah, that's cool. I like that. Anything else to share here? We're going to wrap up, and I got news headlines upcoming here. You know, it sort of left the town with a black eye, but 100 years later, it's an interesting part of the history, isn't it?
Well, it is indeed. You know, the black eye obviously only affected a few people. A few people who got stuck with the bills and things.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful history, and we hope lots of people will show up on the 4th of July.
And I'm just going to ask, why did Dempsey show up? Why did Gibbons agree? Was it all just the money?
Sure.
Yeah.
Dempsey's manager signed up for the $300,000.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, sign me up. Okay. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Hey, Dean, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Again, what are those celebration plans for July 4th?
Well, say starting at 10 o'clock, there's the Fireman's Picnic putting on. 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock is dedication of a local championship park. 1 o'clock, museum, 1 to 5, museum, open house. And then from 3 o'clock on, there's boxing out at the local fairgrounds.
Is there any headliners on that ticket?
There is a Gibbons. The Gibbons family is fighting. I don't know the others.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, I hope he gives them a good old one, too. You know, he's.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Yeah, yeah. Super. Thanks. Have fun up there, too, Dean.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. That's Dean Hellinger again from the a volunteer and former director of the Marias Museum of History and Art. Just a fun piece of history. It's not super significant. It's just a tale of the Old West in Montana. And thanks for sharing that, Dean. We'll take a break and come on back. Colstrip Mayor John Williams will join us here in just a bit, too.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
And so we'll chat with John Williams here again. Colstrip celebrating their 100th anniversary as well. I just got a minute here. I'll talk a little bit about the fight. Again, I'm taking this from Wikipedia but I don't. I suppose it's as good a source as any out there. I kind of checked into it a little bit too. Dempsey was always considered an aggressor as a fighter, but in this fight, and it was expected to go like so. It was expected to be a lot of action in this fight because Gibbons was a similar type of fighter, though he didn't have the record and probably not at the level of Dempsey. Gibbons was able to hang in there. How many rounds did it go? I think it went 15 rounds, and it was Dempsey with a decision because it wasn't an action-packed fight. Dempsey threw punches to Gibbons' head very strategically, getting out of the way, and Dempsey wanted to attack Gibbons wanted to attack the body you know, slow down his mobility. But that didn't work either. Nonetheless, Dempsey victorious there. History moves on. We'll move on to John Williams is next.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock.
Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We're going to Colstrip. Let's go. Mayor John Williams is with us here. They're celebrating 100 years as well. Congratulations on that, John. That's pretty cool. What's going on?
Well, good morning, Tom, and thank you for tuning Colstrip into your show today. We're celebrating a 100-year anniversary, a centennial celebration in Colstrip. We're doing it coincidental with our annual Colstrip Days celebration that we do every year the last weekend in June. But this is special, 100-year anniversary.
How is it special? What does 100 years say?
100 years, it's been 100 years of prosperity, both for our Colstrip community, and we've had the opportunity to spread some of that prosperity throughout the state of Montana. I think everybody is well aware that we're recognized as the energy capital of Montana, but I think that there's even more, something even more important than that, that we understand in Colstrip, and that is that what we are more than just an energy powerhouse. We provide quality life for our community that's very difficult to come by in other areas. And we're very proud of that quality of life that we all enjoy in Colstrip. And this gives us a chance to all come together and to celebrate it. And particularly this year, it's a 100-year anniversary celebration. I think it's a lot of folks aren't aware of the fact that we've been the people within this community have been in the mining business for now it's been over 100 years. Starting first with supplying coal for the railroad locomotives and now for the power plants and of course for others throughout the United States, this energy that's produced here. But it's a great day right now, Tom. There's a bunch of kids, over 125 kids, in a fishing tournament that's part of our celebration up at Castle Rock Lake. That's sponsored by the Montana Pike Masters, City of Colstrip and Rosebud County, and there's a bunch of kids up the lake having a great time, and there's also a golf tournament going on today. We have a lot of activities scheduled this weekend, and invite folks in your listening audience to come to Colstrip.
Yeah, 125 kids at Castle Rock.
125 kids. We put the word out. We started out kind of small, and one of the gals here in the office, Wendy Acton, got in contact with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and Montana Pike Masters, and they're having a great time up there as we speak. A lot of prizes, a lot of giveaways for the kids that are participating, and it's going to be a great time. And so far, the weather has accommodated us, and we're excited about that.
Yeah, I'll knock on wood. What else is going on? I mean, that fishing tournament, I can just picture that. I can picture Castle Rock with all those kids and the Pike Masters out there. I bet that is just a super blast going on right now.
Oh, it's going to be a super time for those kids. They're giving away free fishing rods and reels for those kids and a bunch of other things. And in addition to having a good time up there fishing, and part of it is an educational thing. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is doing some educational, taking advantage of having those kids out there and doing some educational opportunities.
So, hey, can anybody, let me ask about that. In case there's questions out there, is that open to anybody?
Absolutely. Well, these are for the kids right now.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
they're having it's a fishing day for the kids, but as far as the fishing in that lake, of course, it's a public fishing place.
Well, I mean, like for those kids, can somebody if they're listening right now, and they think, whoa, I want to get my kids over there. Do they have to register somewhere, or can they just show up?
No.
Okay.
Just show up.
Yeah.
Just show up.
There you go.
A lot of volunteers that are up there working with everybody, and no, we'd love to. Anybody out in the audience there that would like to come here, you bet.
You know, and off of that. Colstrip Mayor John Williams is with us. There's a lot of people in the town of Colstrip over that 100 years that have just showed up. A town is unique in that regard, I think.
We are very unique. We're a changing community. We've got new families coming in every year, and new families. We have people that have lived and worked here for many years and are retiring. Some have stayed. Some move on. But we are an ever-changing community. We, you know, everything that
that goes on here is somehow related to energy, either coal or power production. That's the uniqueness of that. But with that uniqueness, we also, as I indicated earlier in my comments, we enjoy a quality of life here that's hard to come by in other places because of the fact that we are a coal-based, energy-based community. We have a lot of good things going on within our community and offer tremendous amount of services for the people that live and work here.
The median household income there, plus $85,000, that's 25% higher than the U.S. median income. I mean, so energy and that industry has afforded a quality of life as well. How has Colstrip, their community identity, outside of energy, not that you would necessarily try to identify yourself outside of the cultural and the industrial connections there, but to some degree you want to. How do you guys identify your community?
Well, I think we identify with, of course, the product that's produced here, mm-hmm. all the energy and the coal and everything that's mined here. We do identify with that. Sometimes we feel that what we do and the benefits of all of our work that occurs here is oftentimes not recognized. As you understand, and you issues out there associated with the closure of shutting down of mines and power plants and those types of things, and we know that threat continues to be out there, but we also are aware of the fact of all the good things that occur as a result of what we do here. But that threat is there, and we all are very close-knit as the community goes, and we take advantage of the opportunities that are provided within our community and with the lifestyle that we have. So, I don't know if that's a direct answer to your question, Tom, but that's that. We feel very valued and we feel very close-knit because of the things that we do and the benefits that we all enjoy as a result of that.
Yeah, and as you noted, too, the community is transitioning to a degree because of the potential, closures of 1 and 2 and now the upcoming scheduled closures of 3 and 4. How is that going? Or how does the community then reinvent itself or reconnect with a different identity?
Well, we don't anticipate closure of units 3 and 4.
Okay.
We've indicated that. We're not anticipating that that's going to occur. There's value on those power plants.
And I think so.
They continue to do things to make those more affordable and reliable and those types of things, and we don't anticipate that. And then, of course, there's also the discussion of issues associated with the transmission lines that are here and the construction of additional transmission originating in Colstrip and going east versus the transmission of the power west of here. So there are a lot of people involved with discussions and those types of activities that are going to continue the value of what is produced here out into, it'll go past, of course, my lifetime as I see it.
Well, but
we're celebrating what we're celebrating right now, the anniversary and of all the good things that occur within our community and that we anticipate that will continue.
And that's good. I can fully appreciate that. I tend to think the same way. I know the some of the mandates surrounding those particular closures, but I think a need is going to arise because we're overextending ourselves with renewables. Anyway, that's a different discussion here. We've talked about it frequently too.
It is. But right now we're celebrating the good things, and we're looking forward to a positive future. We're celebrating. We recognize the threats that are there, but we're celebrating the past and looking forward to and with great anticipation for the future with our celebration.
Yeah, does the 100 years recharge people?
I think we are really getting recharged with the involvement of the people within our community that are putting this celebration together. The quality of life, corporation, the city, the county, Schoolhouse History and Arts Center, the school district, our medical district, everybody is really coming together this weekend it's a celebration event. It's celebrating our past and looking forward to the future. So a lot of good things are going on.
I'm all for that. what else is going on? You talked about the kids, and you may mention a few, but what would you recommend, say, someone who wanted to, and Colstrip, again, if people haven't been there in a while, it's a nice town. It's as you noted, there's been a lot of care put into facilities and that town. But what would you recommend people, John, as mayor of Colstrip, Montana, take in this weekend if they're going to be new to the area?
Well, if they're new to the area, the big celebration is going to occur tomorrow. That's when we're going to do our parade. And the parade starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's a celebration in the middle of our community in Over at Rye Park. We're going to celebrate tomorrow with a parade. We have a group of folks that are the grand marshals that are longtime residents of the community. We've got a lot of music scheduled for tomorrow. Congressman Rosendale is going to be here tomorrow. He's coming in to help us celebrate, and with the parade and the music festivities that are going on. We've got a lot of vendors within, both food and merchandise vendors within our park. Another thing that's going on tonight, we have a Motorama show in the park and a Brewfest celebration as a result of the Schoolhouse History and Arts Center. But tomorrow is going to be our big day with the parade. We're also going, and here's an important thing, tomorrow we're going to also recognize the value of the veterans within our community. Okay. We're going to dedicate one of our parks to the veterans that have served our country in our past and into the future. We're going to recognize our veterans, and we have an opportunity to dedicate a park to recognize and make tribute to the men and women who have served our country and have upheld the ideals of our country. And so that's going to be an important celebration. Congressman Rosendale will be there. But in addition to that, we've got a group within our community. We're going to recognize our veterans. Senator Ankeny is a veteran of Vietnam. He's going to do a short little talk. And Terry Taylor, who's also a Marine Corps veteran of Vietnam, and myself, we're going to do a little presentation out there and dedicate that park. So, and we have a celebration in relation to that in our City Hall here, recognize our veterans. And we've got City Hall all decorated up to also honor our veterans. So that's another important point important aspect of a quality community are those opportunities to recognize the sacrifices of others.
Yeah.
That's important.
Thank you for doing that. And then to all those as well who work in that energy industry, it can be a challenging occupation. And so a pat on the back, if you would, from us to them as well as you're out patting backs for this week. And appreciate you coming on here, John, and keeping that positive attitude going. I mean, you
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. That's one of if I have a strength, and that would be one of my strengths as I look at myself and the opportunities that have been provided to me and my family in this community. And that's the positive aspect of looking back to the past and all the good things that occurred, and also the positive prospects of looking towards the future of what we're anticipating. The good things that are going to occur for everybody that lives and works here.
It's a healthy way to live, that's for sure. Colstrip Mayor John Williams, congratulations. Behave yourself at least most of the time.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Appreciate the Voices of Montana and your consideration for giving us this opportunity.
You bet, man. Talk to you later, John.